This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've got week 8 coming up in the National Football League. Is it critical time yet? I don't think we're there as far as teams losing and putting themselves out of contention that are the teams we anticipated would make a run at the playoffs. But that being said, I think if you're the Detroit Lions, you need to be very, very careful this weekend. I think if you are a team like the Chargers, if you want to make that late, you know, late kind of run, you need to be careful in the next couple of weeks. There are teams that looked really good in the beginning, stumbled a little bit, but you don't want to play yourself out of things. We always talk about how the wild card with just two games, two teams that are going to make it, you got to be one of those two teams. So if you're the Rams at 4-3, if you're the Carolina Panthers at 4-2, yeah, you're going to be vying for against some really solid football teams for one of two wild card spots in the NFC. So while week 8 isn't super critical, because in the end, you got some time to sort of repair things and you don't know how other teams are going to falter, injuries could come up, really derail the hopes and dreams of a lot of NFL teams. We are at the point near the halfway mark of things needing to kind of shape itself. If you're Jacksonville and you want to make a run with Gardner Minshew, now would be the time, you know, to kickstart that. The Raiders, the same thing. You know, you look at these, look at some of the teams that are just sitting around kind of swimming in that mediocrity. Can they escape that and be relatively decent teams by the time we're done? And likewise, do we have teams that are kind of hovering above 500? Can it derail quickly? Looking at you, Philadelphia, for example, it's going to be a tough game on the road to take on the Buffalo Bills. All right, we've got a complete look at the Sunday games to give you what you should be watching and what you need to, you know, you can avoid. You can do something else. You can find another game on the schedule. Also, Hudson Mason will join us. We'll talk some college football, some big games coming up this weekend, including a really good showdown in Baton Rouge between Auburn and LSU. Of course, there's Wisconsin and Ohio State on the schedule as well. So we'll get to his thoughts coming up. But we're going to go through the early afternoon games, thoughts, and why you should watch and what you can avoid coming up Sunday in the National Football League. That's next as we roll along on a Friday on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is now time to give you our value games in the NFL in week number 8. Games that you could watch, should watch, or maybe games maybe you should avoid. Maybe because there's just not any value to them. Week 8 is hard to find those kind of throwaway games. Maybe they're there, maybe they're not. All these teams are still vying, a lot of teams are still vying for possibilities of making their, turning their season around. All right, let's start in Atlanta, where the Seahawks are taking on the Falcons at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta's a mess. They've lost 5 in a row. Their defense is giving up over 30 points per game. Russell Wilson is having an MVP-like season, although they are coming off a loss to the Ravens at home. 5-2. Vying for a playoff spot, trying to track down the San Francisco 49ers in the division. I like this game from the Seattle perspective, but I don't like this matchup at all. Russell Wilson's going to tear this defense apart. Oh, and did I mention Matt Ryan may be hurt? So it might be Matt Schaub time at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. At least the concession prices are low. This one is midway. Ugh.
So basically, if you have the means to get to the stadium, watch it live. Don't watch it on TV.
Right. Yes. Get those nice low price concessions.
Yeah. Why not? Don't eat for free at home when you can eat cheaply at Mercedes-Benz. That should be their slogan.
That should be their slogan.
I know this game, there's I mean, this
had potential.
On paper, you know, Dan Quinn going up against his former team.
That would be cool.
That, you know, that's where it is. But literally, I mean, you know what? You could watch this game. If it's another blowout, you could be watching Dan Quinn's final game.
You could be. We'll see if that Julio Jones vote of confidence gives Atlanta a little bit of staying power. I doubt it, though. Philadelphia on the road at Buffalo. Boy, the Eagles are 3-4. Ah, you got to be careful, Philly. This was a stacked team. This was a team that had real nice postseason aspirations. 3-4 is not dangerous, but it ain't good either. And Buffalo is 5-1.
5-1.
Here's the deal. Buffalo, all five of the Bills wins this season have come against team with losing records, and that's exactly what Philadelphia is right now at 3-4. Their defense is giving up 16 points per game. That's it. Eagles are going to have to score, and they're going to have to do it against a Bills defense that's really good. Are you buying Buffalo yet, or do you think in the end Buffalo becomes a good 9-7, 10-6 team, but not really any threat?
No, I think they're a 9-7, 10-6 team. Right now, that's all it's going to take in the AFC to get into the playoffs.
They have literally beaten every worst team in the NFL, I think, except for Washington.
Yeah, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yep, I mean, you are supposed to do that.
You look at it on paper, like, who's their one loss against? The eventual Super Bowl champions. So there's no shame in their season so far. It's been a fantastic season for them.
Think about this. Their wins this year have been against the Giants, the Bengals, the Jets, the Titans, and the Dolphins. I mean, the Bengals and the Dolphins are winless. The Jets have one win. The Giants have lost. That was with Eli. They've lost three in a row, or 2-5. I mean, the Titans are... So those are the only wins. But they got a home game, so...
I know. They almost have as many wins as all the teams they played against combined.
Watch it for a little sense of desperation on the Eagles. They might have to pull out something here. I think Philadelphia could get a road win, but I think it's going to be tough. Buffalo's a real tough out.
Nah, Bills Mafia will show up in force.
Very true.
They are super jazzed about their 5-1 team.
3-5 Eagles team, man. It's going to be hard to make the playoffs because you're not going to win out. You just aren't. Chargers at the Bears. Which direction are these teams going? If the Chargers are going to turn it around, now would be the time, I think. They would need to do that?
No, last week would have been.
Last week would have been? Yeah, probably. Yikes. The Bears have lost two in a row, the London game and then to the Saints. There's no problem losing to the Saints, but they don't have any faith in Mitch Trubisky. Did you hear about the kid that got booed because he said he was going to be Mitch Trubisky for Halloween at a Blackhawks game?
Yeah.
Already, the bloom is off the rose, as they say.
Chicago has turned. This game, I love me some Charger football.
Yes, you do.
I'm not even really interested in this game just because I don't know if I have what it takes to sit through another heartbreaking defeat. And that's how I feel it's going to be. I mean, this on paper, listen, the Chargers should win. The Bears aren't playing. The Bears have a good defense, and that's about it. Their offense is, mediocre at best.
Yeah, they have not looked like the Chicago Bears in the last 2 weeks.
No.
Win against the Vikings seems like eons ago.
They can't get anything started. And in fact, I mean, a bold prediction would be we might see another backup quarterback play in this game.
Yeah, well, we might. So that one's like a 2 on a scale of 1 to 5. The Giants at the Lions. I still believe in the Lions. I still like their team. I just don't think they have enough. They're not going to get enough wins on their schedule. That doesn't mean they're a bad team. It just means they're not going to get enough wins. They're still a tough opponent. But the Giants, I don't think they should. Look, I said this earlier this week. Pat Shurmur is not making the switch back to Eli because there's a brief little bit of opening where they're not dead yet to win the division. They're only 2 games out of the Dallas Cowboys. So they're not going to go back to Eli. But you do have to do something about Daniel Jones. He wowed us with his opening win against the Buccaneers, but that's about it. Since then, it has been a turnover fest that you do expect from a rookie. But you do need to step it up, and hopefully that he'll calm that down a little bit. He has 11 turnovers in the last 5 games. That's a little much. If you're the Giants, this is still your future, and you are playing for the future. There's going to be no quarterback switch. But Daniel Jones has got to play a little better now.
Yeah,
he's started enough games.
I'm going to say for the Giants, this is a good bounce back game for him because the Lions are a good team.
Good team.
They really are a good team. They've just gone up against better teams than what they could handle. For Daniel Jones, if you get a win against the Lions, that's actually saying something.
Yeah, that is. That is.
You know, the Lions have a losing record. You know, have lost the last three games. To get over the Lions, that's going to be a positive thing. This game has potential to be just a really back-and-forth, drag-out mudfest.
I agree. Look, the Giants have lost three in a row. One of the games was against the Patriots. The other against the resurging Vikings. The other one against Arizona. Now, if you say the Giants should have won that game, you're arrogant because the Giants and the Cardinals are about the same. All right? That game should have gone either way to either one of those two teams. Both starting rookie quarterbacks. The Giants aren't a better team on paper than Arizona. Arizona's not a better team on paper than the Giants. They're about equal, and the Cardinals just won the game. But this, if they get a road win against the Lions, that's a little bit of a nice building block. Like I said, look, we know theoretically they're not going to win the division, but right now you have to play as if you're not out of it because they're not out of it. They're only two games back. All right, Tampa Bay at Tennessee. Ooh. I'm telling you, Ryan Tannehill love is starting to percolate a little bit here in Nashville. The two touchdown passes again, yeah, it really is. Marcus Mariota is out. Everybody knows that. There's no way you're going to come back, you know, unless he can lead them to like a 7-game win streak if Ryan Tannehill goes down with some knee injury. The Titans that need to look for another quarterback, they're not bringing back Winston on a brand new quarterback-friendly deal. This is it. Tannehill's the guy for now. Tampa Bay is starting Jameis Winston, who Bruce Arians had to publicly support after he threw 5 interceptions against Carolina 2 weeks ago in the game in London. They're coming off a bye week. They're 2-4. Winston should be playing better. Mariota should have been playing better. He's been benched. When will Tampa Bay bench Winston? Well, if he has a bounce back game against the Titans, probably never.
But if he plays like he did last week, could see him in this game.
Titans could win this game if he does. It's a lot of picks, by the way. 5. In London. People in London probably went, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Hey, keeps throwing to the other team.
I don't think that's in the rules. The Denver Broncos at Indianapolis. Peyton Manning against Andrew Luck. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's now Joe Flacco against Jacoby Brissett. Listen, the Broncos, that was as embarrassing of a loss as I've ever seen that team perform on the big stage. That was that 30-6 loss to Matt Moore and the Kansas City Chiefs was despicable. Do they bounce back and beat a Colts team that's coming off a bye and actually pretty decent? I think the Colts are coming off a bye, I should say. Yeah, no, yeah, I don't think they can. The Colts are pretty good. They're 4-2. They lead the division. This game, wake me up if the Broncos score. How about that? Then I'll pay attention. Wake me up. Like, call me if the Broncos' offense is actually putting points on the board. Remember when this game was good? Remember when was all that Peyton Manning,
back
Andrew Luck stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that was great, wasn't it?
Manning going against his former
team.
Oh,
was that the best? Luck beating him in the playoffs in Denver. Oh, those were the days. Doesn't feel that long ago. Again, wake me up if the Broncos are going to score. Otherwise, keep quiet and just let me know who wins when this thing is all said and done.
Yep.
Because I just don't think the Broncos... I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is now gone. It looks like they're... dumping the ship.
Who are they going to throw to?
Yeah, who are they going to? Cortland Sutton? Come on. Noah Fant, the tight end.
You know what? I mean, to be honest, Flacco's got to be feeling great about this gig.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, this was supposed to be my comeback, and now what are you all doing?
Maybe he'll look to the press and go, hey, remember that thing I said about not grooming a backup? Maybe I should start thinking that that's my career path now, is grooming a backup. Cincinnati at the Rams. Ah! Could this be a trap game?
I was thinking the same thing.
Right?
Probably not.
0-17.
I think our man is still going to be sleeping in a tent above his restaurant.
I think so, too.
But this could be a trap game.
You never know. Some of these teams, all of a sudden, they find it. And they go, oh, where has this been all year?
Yeah, the only problem is that this game is in L.A.
Yeah, it is in L.A.
So there's not going to be any fans for either team.
Nope. Nope, not at all. Bengals winless. I can't believe it. Yeah, I didn't think they were going to win 6, but I didn't think they were going to win 0.
Yeah, they'll be winless after this week as well.
All right, when we come back, the rest of the games on the NFL schedule, we're going to go over them, give you the details again, what you should watch and what you can avoid as Week 8 kicks off, already did on Thursday night, as we continue on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we go through the NFL schedule. One out of four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, continuing our look at the afternoon games, the early games, there's two more left. Arizona at New Orleans. Watch this. Drew Brees could play. And if you're Drew Brees, you can't get in soon enough. No, he's not going to lose his job to Teddy Bridgewater. But Bridgewater's won five straight. Five straight while Brees recovers.
I don't like this. I don't think Brees should play in this game.
No, they got a bye week next week. He should sit this one out.
Sit this one out. Then you got the bye week. Come back after that. You're almost at 100% ready to go.
This isn't like a Cam Newton situation, right? Because Cam Newton, if when he's healthy, you could make the case that, well, you know, this isn't really like if Kyle Allen keeps winning, you're like, well, I think I like Kyle Allen better. You do not like the Saints offense better with Teddy Bridgewater than Drew Brees. You like it, love it with Teddy Bridgewater. He's doing great, but he's not Drew Brees. So if you're Sean Payton, this isn't like, you know, well, Drew needs to get big in there. You know, he's got a job to keep. No, this isn't that case. Let him sit this one out. Let Bridgewater do his work. Continue to rest that up. Make your run towards the postseason after the bye.
Yeah, and this game should be fun. I'm curious. I'm excited to see Kyler Murray against the Saints defense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not paying it as, you know, I'm not watching Arizona games. I mean, I see them on highlights and red zone and whatnot. I know they've won three straight against some pretty bad teams, but it's still three straight. You know, maybe they pull off an upset, maybe they don't, but you know, they're growing something a little bit there in Arizona. They're not like the winless Cincinnati Bengals. The Jets at Jacksonville. Oh boy. Gardner Minshew mania. We're still on that, right?
But that doesn't save this game.
It has it died down a little bit, or is it still roaring?
No, we're still there.
We're still roaring. Okay, good. Cause I don't want to lose that. Yeah, every Sunday, I'm afraid Gardner Minshew is going to have a really bad game, and we go, well, this is like Linsanity in the NBA. We had our moment with Jeremy Lin, and then we coughed it up.
But I don't think Minshew mania can propel this game to being high on your list of things to watch. You can take a vested interest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we'd be curious if Sam Darnold sees more ghosts on the field.
Yeah, very much so.
I don't know how haunted Jacksonville is.
I don't think it's a haunted place, but if there are ghosts, he'll find them.
What if he sees the ghost of Jalen Ramsey?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep.
I thought Jalen Ramsey was there. Oh, no, he got traded. Oh, I swear I saw Jalen Ramsey.
Swear he was there. That's why throw your way.
I saw him coming out of the corner. What's wrong with you?
I was trying to look him off. He wasn't biting.
Yeah, so. Carolina at San Francisco. This has got a good game written all over it, right? The Panthers? With Kyle Allen now winning four straight?
Yeah.
Against this is where I think San Francisco could be upset. And I wouldn't even call it an upset. Christian McCaffrey, MVP level of play. The Panthers are winning games. This is a good Panthers team. They've got weapons. This is where the 49ers could find themselves with a loss. In fact, I'm predicting it now.
What?
The Niners are going down in this game at home to the Carolina Panthers. Wow. I'll predict it now. I don't
and
even think that's
if that happens, if Kyle Allen takes down an undefeated Niners team, Cam Newton's lost his job, right?
Absolutely. They'll trade him. They'll trade him in the offseason. Like I said, in New Orleans, Brees is still the better option. In this case, I don't know if Cam Newton's a better option. Kyle Allen's playing really well. Four in a row. I mean, not a lot has been said about Kyle Allen and should be brought up. But by the way, that 49ers defense is really good. Really good. This isn't a joke. This isn't a team like the Bills at 5-1 where you go, I'm still not believing. I kind of believe in the 49ers. That's why I think they...
Yeah, I know. because, I mean, not so much in the offense, but all of it on the defense.
Right. The defense is playing
good. I've seen enough now that defense is pretty solid.
I don't think it's a huge upset, but it's an upset nonetheless. I'll call it. I think the Panthers win that game.
All right. I'm with you.
All right. Cleveland against the Patriots in Foxborough. Okay, here's the deal. Death, taxes, and Bill Belichick beats first or second year quarterbacks when he goes up against them.
Okay.
He has won the last 20 games against quarterbacks in either their first or their second year. That's almost a guarantee, right?
Yes, but is he going to put players in to get them some playing time?
That's the question, right? Now, that would be funny. Now, hold on. That's funny. I want somebody who in New England to tell, ask Bill Belichick, do you think you're going to get to Jarrett Stidham some playing time just to, you know, get him acquiesced to the game?
See what you got in him.
See what you got in him. And let's see Belichick's response to that and marry it to what Nick Saban said at the same question. That would be great.
Boston, we're calling out to you.
Somebody in Boston.
Somebody's got to ask. Just ask.
Just do it. Just do it. Sit back and enjoy the show. Just do it. That'll be great. Jarrett Stidham.
Because, I mean, Nick Saban went on this whole rant. I could just see him going, yeah, we're on to Cleveland.
Yeah, that's right. We're on to Cleveland. I would ask this. Do you expect Tom Brady to leave in the first or second quarter of the game for good? Just to see what he would say. Like, coach, I'm out. Thanks. Suitcases are over there. Giselle and the kids are over there. It's been great. Thanks for the Super Bowls. See you later. That's getting more steam, man. On a serious note.
He's out. He's gone.
That's getting more steam.
He's gone.
Seeing more and more people going, yeah. You know what it is? It's Adam Schefter. It's his. The more people look at Adam Schefter sticking by this story, they make people go, look, man, this guy's been around this a long time. He knows something. I'm not kidding. I'm starting to warm up to it. At the beginning of the week, you go back to us at the beginning of the week going, this is stupid. What a bunch of nonsense. What a bunch of fodder. What a bunch of clickbait. It's now Friday, and I'm starting to change my tune on this a little bit. I'm willing to admit, this story might have some legs. I don't know. If he walks out at halftime and goes, that's it, done, thanks, bye. Jared, get in there and play. See ya.
That'd be fun. No, because you know what it is? Does he have any challenges anymore?
That's what they were discussing on
that's part of the problem. There's nothing to challenge him.
I saw this on TV. They were talking about it, and they said, well, you know, would he play in San Francisco? Well, why would he play in San Francisco? Why, if you're the 49ers, why would you take Tom Brady over? Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback. You don't go, hey, Jimmy, take a seat for a year or two while we let Grandpa over here play so he can say he played for his hometown team.
Hey, Jimmy, we want you to be back up to Brady.
Yeah.
Again.
Hey, remember how good this felt in New England? Let's try this one more time.
Yeah,
I know you got us undefeated, but hey, it's Tom Brady. What are you going to do?
Why you left New England in the first place?
Unless Garoppolo stinks it up for the rest of the season, but if he leads them to the playoffs, they make a nice little run. I'm sorry. I know it's Tom Brady, but it's 43-year-old Tom Brady, all right? You're not going to bench Jimmy. So let's not pretend like he can go anywhere he wants and play for anybody he wants. There's got to be an opening. And he is an older quarterback. He's still one of the best ever of all time. But nevertheless, you don't disrupt your team like that. Oakland and Houston. What's the feeling on the Texans?
Because that was
a good win against the Chiefs, and then they followed it up with a not-so-good win against the Colts, a loss against the Colts.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of disappointment. Everyone was kind of riding high.
Yeah, they were like 4-2.
And
then
going into this game, it's like, oh, we could take the Colts. It's not Andrew Luck in the Colts. It's Joe, what's his name again? Brisket? We eat that.
Yeah, it's amazing how the temperature can change, really. I mean, you come off a win against the Chiefs, you're like, well, look who's a player now in the AFC.
I think the feeling is, you know, the Texans probably should be feeling comfortable going into this game.
Yeah, they're
going
to play the Raiders. I think I'm still up and down with the Raiders. I do like some things they're doing. There have been some times where I've questioned what they've done. I didn't like that loss at Green Bay. Not losing to Green Bay, that's different. They didn't look good losing to Green Bay. Speaking of the Packers, Green Bay and Kansas City.
You know what?
Let's get back to this Patrick Mahomes thing. I think it's a ruse. I think this is all a ruse. I think Patrick Mahomes is practicing, but I don't think he sees the field at all come Sunday. They can't be that dumb, can they? Unless this has been healed. Like, again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm nowhere near the injury. I'm not evaluating it. Just based on what I saw, what I know, what I'm hearing, they're not going to play Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night, are they?
I've seen stranger things happen.
I agree. I think this might be all a ploy.
I've seen more common sense things happen.
Right. Can you imagine if Patrick Mahomes plays and that knee goes again and he gets hit again he's done for the season, what Andy Reid and that organization have to put up with? By the way, the NFL is probably begging for Mr. Miyagi to show up and get that kneecap totally healed. Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night. Because Matt Moore against Aaron Rodgers just doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
Real quick, what about your Monday nighter?
Monday night, Miami and Pittsburgh.
Dances with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. By the way, in that game, the team with the most points wins.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's Friday. It means looking at the head at the college football games this weekend and some really big ones. Hutton Mason joins us, former Georgia quarterback, college football analyst here on SB Nation Radio. How are you, my friend?
Tony, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Auburn LSU. I was kind of hoping both teams would be 7-0, and I know Auburn had that hiccup against Florida, but nevertheless, this is still as big of a game in the SEC as you're going to find all season. Look, we know about Auburn and Bo Nix, and we obviously know about Joe Burrow, but when these two teams meet in Death Valley, what is the overriding feeling of where these both teams are and how it will play out?
Well, I think you've got LSU, which has an exceptional offense, maybe the best in the country, and I think you can make a case that Auburn has an exceptional defense. I think Florida's defense is up there. The two DBs that they've got, Marco Wilson and C.J. Henderson, are two of the best in the country. But this Auburn defensive line is by far the biggest havoc maker that Joe Burrow will have seen. I think the difference comes down to is Auburn's not going to be able to score enough points against LSU. You go back to watch that LSU-Florida game. Kyle Trask and Florida and Dean Mullen, man, they played near perfect. And it still wasn't close enough to outbeat and outdo LSU. So, you know, you look at the way Bo Nix has played versus top 30 scoring defenses. It hasn't been very good, which I guess doesn't come as a big surprise because he is a freshman. And I think Bo Nix has a very bright future. And we saw him play against Oregon. And I think he's gotten better every single week. But I think LSU is just a different animal on the road. And I think LSU wins, and I think they win pretty handily.
If Auburn were to find a strategy in this game, does it, you know, look, Boobie Whitlow is out, but the running game, controlling the clock, does that even matter against an explosive offense like LSU?
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point. I think the only way Auburn can win this game is just winning the turnover battle. I mean, I think if you look at that statistically, you go back to the South Carolina-Georgia game, you know, South Carolina got four turnovers. I think something like that has to happen for Auburn and find a way to force Joe Burrow to make some uncharacteristic bad decisions, maybe some tip balls and zone coverage. I mean, and it's got to come from this defensive line, and it can. This defensive line has got four dudes that are going to play in the NFL, and, you know, if they can put a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow and maybe make him see ghost. Like Sam Darnold did, as you saw the other night, you know, when you get pressure on the quarterback, you make him throw the ball too early sometimes. You make him not set his feet. He becomes erratic from the pocket. That's where some of the interceptions start to come.
Do you get a sense sometimes in being a quarterback yourself, how do you get Bo Nix, if you're Gus Malzahn, how do you get Bo Nix not to feel like he's got to do something on every possession, that the team can still grind this out? Because I see a lot of times where it happened against Florida, too, where Kyle Trask was playing really well, and then there was a moment where they just pressed and they threw one pick, and then they tried to do too much to try to get back into the game. Does he have to do that with Bo Nix, where it's like, we don't need scores in every position. Be smart with that football. Don't take a gamble, because this can get out of hand quickly.
No, I think it's a great point, and I think, you know, when you've got an 18-year-old kid, a true freshman, you're exactly right. When you get down 10 or 14 points, the initial reaction is, oh, I got to get all those 14 points back in one play, and you can't. And I know Gus, he's probably telling Bo, look, man, we've got this great defense. You don't have to be Cam Newton. You know, you don't have to win the Heisman in this offense. Just take care of the football. Find completions. I don't care how you find completions. Just, you know, move the chains, find completions. And you know what? Sometimes punting the football isn't the end of the world. And I think a lot of young kids don't quite understand that until they mature and they realize, hey, you know what? There is a science and there's a way to beating a team, playing field position battle and punting and stuff like that. So, I think you're exactly right with Bo Nix. And Auburn has kind of naturally been one of those teams. They love the explosive play. We saw it against Texas A&M. But without Whitlow running the football, it's going to come down to Bo Nix making good decisions in this defense, how much pressure and what they can do inside the pocket to Joe Burrow.
All right, let's get to one of the other top games coming up this weekend. That's Wisconsin against Ohio State, and we saw the Badgers lose to Illinois. Yes, it might be a case of look-ahead-itis, as it's been called this week. But nevertheless, this is still a Wisconsin team. Loss or no loss, there's still got some players on this team that might be formidable against Ohio State. Or are the Buckeyes that much better? How do you see this game?
Wisconsin historically has been a team. I think they're 8-0 under Paul Crisp after a loss. That tells us that, you know, Paul Crisp knows how to motivate his players, knows how to get them back on track. But this is Ohio State, who I think is one of the best offenses in the country, right up there with LSU. Now, what would be interesting is, you know, this litmus test the teams that Ohio State has played is nothing defensively is what they're going to see against the Badgers, one of the best defenses in the whole country. I like Ohio State in this game. Unfortunately for me, you know, Wisconsin is kind of like, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago where social media or whoever was coined the term Clemsoning for like when you get really
yes.
close but you just kind of fall on your face. That's kind of Wisconsin to me right now. Like, last week against Illinois, like every year Wisconsin just gets up there and we're like, oh, Wisconsin's for real, and they got this great defense, and then they just have this slip-up game every year, and then they end up, you know, 9-4, 10-3 playing in the Outback Bowl. Unfortunately, I want to get on this Wisconsin bandwagon. I want to get on this Big Ten, you know, bandwagon. And maybe it's more Wisconsin than it is Big Ten, because I think Ohio State, if they, you know, has a great chance of making the college football playoff. But Wisconsin specifically, it's frustrating. I know Jack Cohen, their quarterback's been playing really well. I think he leads the country in completion percentage, but I don't think it's going to be enough to slow down Ryan Day's offense and Justin Fields.
I want to get large picture view on this next game, and that's Notre Dame at Michigan. And we saw Michigan lose to Penn State, but Notre Dame losing to Georgia earlier this season, if they do run the table, is America still wary of Notre Dame, or do they still have ability to impress us to be one of the teams that can get into this playoff?
Well, I think for Notre Dame, it's going to come down to optics for them. I think there's some teams out there that optics don't matter because of their strength of schedule. If they just win, they're in. I don't believe Notre Dame is one of those teams. I think they have to impress the committee in which the style in which they went in. That is a big thing to take into consideration in every game they play. Historically, some of the teams they play down the stretch, like Virginia Tech, and I'm trying to think of who else they play on the end of their schedule, are not as good as when, you know, they've scheduled them or when they've played
right.
them in the past. So this is a big one for Notre Dame. I think this is the last ranked team as of right now on their schedule.
I think it is too, you're right.
I think it's on the road, and which Michigan's offense has been playing better the past two games. I thought they had their best offensive output last week in Penn State in the second half. So I actually like Michigan here in the upset, but I do believe for Notre Dame, the style points and the sexiness and, you know, the optics, whatever you want to call it, matter, because everybody's going to point back to no conference championship that they play in.
What do you make of all the Harbaugh critics, if you will, the people that are just screaming about Harbaugh's inability to win these games like Wisconsin, like Penn State, and of course Ohio State? I mean, we all know about a rivalry and what it means if you don't beat your rivalry consistently. But it goes deeper than that. It's one thing to say, well, we don't beat Ohio State, but there's a feeling like,
right.
God, when they play a ranked team, they just don't win. Yep, they'll beat Illinois. Yes, they'll beat, Rutgers, of course. But my God, when we
right.
have the bigger stage, we just don't win. Is that legit, or are people overreacting?
Well, I don't think you can argue the numbers. I think they're 1-7 or 1-8 versus AP top 10 teams. And, you know, they haven't beat Ohio State, which is a rival, which I would argue, you know, Ohio State, and I know Michigan fans don't want to necessarily hear this, but, you know, Ohio State is at a point in the history of their career where they've won 11 games, 7 straight seasons.
Yes.
I mean, what they're doing in Columbus is just as good as what Alabama's doing. And I think sometimes fan bases, and I feel like Michigan people fall into this trap, is they look at Nick Saban, they look at, you know, Urban Meyer, and they see the success that they had with their programs, and they think, okay, we can replicate that, we can duplicate that. And I think we historically, Bo Schembechler, Lloyd Carr. Like, Jim Harbaugh is having more success in terms of wins per season than those two coaches. And so he's winning 10 games a season. I think Michigan fans kind of look at Alabama and they think, okay, we can do that. We should do that. And I'm not for sure that's the case. You know, you go back to the 80s and 90s when Nebraska was really good in the 80s. You know, Oklahoma was down. And then in the 90s, it flip-flopped. It's like, you know, when Alabama's really good, usually LSU's not as good. And, you know, Ohio State is really, really good right now, and Michigan's a little down. I think that's how dynasties work. When one's up, the other's kind of down. And I've been a big, I wouldn't say advocate of Jim Harbaugh, but I think 10 wins is kind of right where they are as a program.
Sure.
I know Michigan fans don't want to hear that, but I just think for what he's done and where he's taken this program and elevated it, I know they got to be Ohio State, but I just think we have expectations for them in that program that historically they've never really proven.
All right, it's been a couple of weeks. Are you traveling this weekend?
Yeah, we are in Indianapolis, Denver at Indy.
All right.
So I was in your town last week, man. I didn't know you were in Nashville.
Yeah.
We did the Chargers-Titans game. What a
Oh, no kidding. That was an ending.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That was a crazy ending. I still we took it like a day or two to process it around here to see what exactly
Goodness
went down.
I still don't think I digested it.
I know. That's crazy. All right. Enjoy your time in Indianapolis. Always good talking to you, my friend. Take care.
All right, Tony. See you, man.
You got it. That's Mason. Indy for the the Broncos and the Colts coming up this weekend. Working that with the CBS. Always good to talk with him. He's right about Harbaugh. I know. Listen, I get it. I'm not in the belly of the beast in terms of what Wolverine fans and what they feel like. But I think he's right. I think, you know, sometimes you look at the larger picture and you go, look, 10 wins. It puts you in position, right? Sometimes you worry about which coach is going to get us that one extra win. And then you can set the whole program back. I saw this with Nebraska. They had Frank Solich. Frank Solich was winning 9 to 10 games, but it wasn't good enough. And now look at Nebraska, right? You end up saying to yourself, look, I got to find. And then the question becomes, well, then who? If not him, then who? Urban Meyer ain't coming there. So who? Who out there is going to get you that to that next place? I know the argument, and I've heard it way too many times, right? Where it's, all right, look, when we go through our schedule, yeah, we can beat a Michigan State, or we can beat a Maryland, or we can beat, Iowa, right? But when push comes to shove, when we play these larger games in the top 25, we don't win. And that's important because we have to win those games, and I get it. But at the same time, if not him, who, right? That you have to, because you have to be realistic. It's one thing to be angry at a situation, angry at a coach, but be realistic. Look at the landscape. Who out there is going to get you the win over Ohio State when Ohio State is playing historically good football? All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, as we continue along on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Yeah, one more thing on Harbaugh, real quick. It was a thought I was having. You know, so the complaint is that Harbaugh doesn't win the big games, right? You know, can't beat Ohio State. I know that's a big deal, so I'm not trying to push that aside. But, you know, when you get these, you know, where Michigan's ranked and Wisconsin is ranked and they don't win, right? Or, you know, going on the road to Penn State, a ranked game, they don't win. But you know why you're mad about, if you're a Michigan fan, you know why you're mad at that? But you got enough wins to make those games matter. Like, Harbaugh's giving you enough wins to make those losses important to you. I mean, you're not Rutgers, right? You're not Indiana. You're not Purdue. You're winning enough games that there are nationally televised big games in the Big Ten moments that Michigan's failing on. Are you really willing to take a risk that the next guy coming in could derail that, because I've seen it happen, right? A program goes, not good enough here. We got to make a change. Okay. Then they make a change. And before you know it, they're going 7-3 or 7-4 or whatever it is. That's not, you know, you're winning 10 games, and that's enough to put you in position that one of these Saturdays against Ohio State, you're going to pop and you're going to do it. The Tennessee football program has been dead since Lane Kiffin left for USC. It has been dead. Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, it's been dead. They cannot resurrect it. You do not remember, this is Tennessee we're talking about. This is SEC championship. This is national championship in the 90s. Good. This was Tennessee, Peyton Manning Tennessee. This was Phil Fulmer and Steve Spurrier Tennessee. And they've been dead for a decade because they thought that they could find the guy that could give them that extra boost, and they have not found it. And Butch Jones was the right hire, and he couldn't do it. And now Jeremy Pruitt may not be that guy either. Do not get overworked by the fact that you're a really good football team that's losing these games, because you could be worse. Put your team in, the team is in position to win those games at some point. But looking around the landscape and trying to find the guy that's going to give you the edge is the same mentality as looking around and finding the guy that sets your program back for 10 years. Because it happened before and it'll happen again.